figured it out. So, but it is good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I appreciate Brother Darren calling me to fill in for him. This is my home church. Maybe some of you people don't know me or have not been here long. This is where we came out of before we were called out to preach. And so I told Brother Darren, we left our church about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And of course, I've been busy. I've been preaching. But I told him if it'd be all right, we'd like to hang around here till we got sit somewhere else. So maybe we'll get to come and be with you more often. But I appreciate him thinking enough of me to let me come and preach. And I always count it a privilege to stand behind God's pulpit and brag on Him. Amen. It's a privilege to do that. So now, if you have your Bibles tonight, if you turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. You find your place if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word just for a moment. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, I want to preach on this thought tonight. Why me? Why me? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, we thank You for another opportunity. God, that You just allow us to call upon Your precious name. I'm so thankful tonight to be here in this church with my brothers and sisters of Christ. Father, I'm so thankful, God, that You counted me worthy enough to put me in the ministry. And Lord, allow me tonight to stand behind Thy sacred desk. And Lord, I realize tonight, first off, that I'm nothing without You. And Lord, I can do nothing or say nothing, God, without the anointing power of the Holy Ghost tonight. And I ask for it tonight. Lord, that makes preaching easy. And God, I pray that You would stir us. You'd move us to obedience tonight. I pray You loose us tonight. And Lord, just let us worship in spirit and truth tonight. Father, we do pray that You'd just have Your goodwill and way upon every heart tonight. If there'd be one here tonight that's lost and never known the free pardon of sin, God, I pray You'd save them tonight. And I pray You'd call the backslider back. And I pray tonight be a night of encouragement. God, You'd lift us up and You'd just encourage us. And Lord, just give us the words to speak to our heart, God, that would encourage us to march on for You and live a life, God, that be pleasing to You. Father, now just God, guide us and help us, Lord, tonight in Your precious Word. And we thank You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say this first of all. I want to just read some things before we get into this. We must remember, I begin to look at some Scripture in Ephesians 2:1, and it says that we were dead in trespasses and sin. And Psalms 42, it says that we were brought up also out of a horrible pit of marred clay. And I thought about in Isaiah 64:6, it says, "Listen, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities life, the wind hath taken us away." I began to think about that, and I began to think about what I was and what I was before Jesus came into my life. But the Bible also goes back and says this in these same verses. It says, "You hath He quickened." That means to be made alive. That means to be revived. Boy, I appreciate that tonight, don't you? And then it goes on and it says that He brought me up out of a horrible pit of marred clay. I begin to think about that marred clay. And that means boggy, swampy, or muddy. You ever been around a swamp that's been there for a pretty good while and the sun shined on a little while? Boy, it stinks, don't it? It don't smell good. And boy, I begin to think about the clay. The Bible says that He is the potter and we are the clay. And I heard a story one time of a potter, how the potter would do. He'd go down to the river and he'd go to a bank of a river
where the river would swirl. And you've all probably seen it. Anymore, there's just all kinds of old trash and nastiness in some of these rivers sometimes. And sometimes when the water rises and gets muddy, there'll be a swirl in the bank. And there'll be trash and there'll be sticks and all kinds of things in there. And that potter said that was the best place to find the right kind of clay to make pottery. And so he'll dig down through all that. And he'll dig in that bank and he'll get that clay out. He'll make his pottery. Amen. I'm glad that he took me and pulled me out of a horrible pit of marred clay. And I'm glad that he set my feet on a solid rock. But I want to say this tonight. Seems like I guess just as bad as anybody to use those two words. Why me? Boy, I want to say this of me and me of anybody. I don't have no right to say anything or complain about anything. After all, if we don't have anything, boy, we got Jesus. And boy, I'm going to say that's all I need tonight. But I'm going to say this. If we've got Jesus tonight, church, we have got everything. We've got all that we need. But I want to say this. God's blessed me. The Bible said to give us life and give it more abundantly. Boy, I want to say He's blessed me over the years. And I want to say tonight I thank Him so much for blessing me and meeting my needs. But I begin to think about these two words that's used. And I'm sure that you, if you'd think back sometime or another in life when things are not going so good or when you think the world is falling down around you, you'll come up with those two little words, Lord, why me? Why me? I find sometimes in life's problems and in family problems and in marriage, in just everyday life, living on the job and different things, seems like sometimes things go wrong and seems like I'm the only one that has those problems. And a lot of times we'll say, why me, Lord? Why me? Sometimes I wonder if I ain't got the only lawnmower in the country that always tires up when I need it the most, or need to get somewhere and the car tires up, or get in and be late for going somewhere and my tire goes flat or it gets slow. Look out, got a low tire and a lot of times I'll just wring my hands or I'll just shake my head and say, Lord, why does this always happen to me? Amen. Why does this always happen to me? But I begin to think about this spiritually. It seems like now we do this. Now let me say this. The most committed Christian. Listen, God didn't say that when we got saved He'd be a bed of roses. But you know what He said? He said that the sun would rise upon the evil and the sun would rise upon the good. He said it'd rain on the just and the unjust. Amen. Some of us sometimes don't deserve the goodness of God, but we got it because His grace and His mercy. Listen, I want to say this. Sometimes all we do is complain about all that we've got and God's blessed us with. Hey man, a lot of times we'll catch ourselves. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I'd probably be first to say, I'm probably getting close to 45 years old. And I'd be first to say, I've probably got more ailments than anybody. Hey man. Well, I'm going to tell you, I can get out and walk all day in the woods. And when I get home at night, I walk in. I'll be limping a little bit. My wife don't want to hear it. Boy, I'll tell you, there have been changes in my life from the time that I was 20 till I got to 45. And boy, I have to do things different. But you know what? Seems like we always have a complaint. Seems like we can't. If there is 9 good things in our life, out of 10, we'll dwell on the 10th one. Amen. Seems like we always dwell on that. But you know what? We look at it, and we look at ourselves, and we say, Lord, well, I'm saved. Listen, I'm living right. I'm paying my tithes. I'm going to visit. I'm doing everything, God, that Your Word said for me to do. I'm trying to do all those things, God, that You said to do, and still these things are happening. And sometimes we still end up, Brother Christian, we'll say, Lord, why me? Why me, Lord? Have you ever caught yourself saying that? As a Christian, have you ever caught you saying, I mean, it feels like everything keeps just coming down around you. And it feels like every way you turn, it seems like there's problems and there's heartaches and sorrows. Let me say this. I want to say this. There is sometimes people that suffer more than others. But there's a reason for it. Amen. I begin to think about the Scripture, and I begin to think about some things. And can I just paraphrase this? Let me say this most of all. Remember that His Spirit bears Spirit with my Spirit, that we are the sons of God. Regardless what we suffer, we're still God's children. Sometimes we wonder if God's even around. Hey man, why God let this happen to me? Why this problem going? Why that problem going? Why am I suffering like this? Why is this going on? Boy, I'm going to tell you something. I believe those that love Him, listen, I believe those things will work out for the good for those that love Him. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said. I begin to think about some things. Now, I just kind of want to go through some Scripture. Now, I just want to paraphrase this. But I want you to remember now, we still are God's children. Regardless what we face and what we suffer, regardless of heartaches and the trials and each and everything that we have to suffer day after day, we're still God's children. Amen. The Bible said, now listen to what this Scripture says right here. How the Bible said, if we suffer, now listen, if so that be that we suffer with Him, we shall also be glorified with Him. I'm going to say this, in my suffering, I'm glad He's with me. I'm glad, listen, I'm doing it for the right thing. I'm glad that if I suffer, and I'm glad if I go through things, I'm glad that I do it for Him and for a good cause. You know, there's a lot of people that are doing a lot of things, and it's in vain. But I want to add this tonight. He said, go and baptize and preach in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them. And He said, and I'll be with you even to the ends of the world. He said, let me say this. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And He said, I'd pray the Father, and He'd send another comfort. And He'd come to you, and He would not leave you comfortless. And, well, I'm going to say this. Regardless what I suffer for His name's sake, He's going to be there too. Amen. But I want to kind of paraphrase this. A lot of times, and I want to say this, God has been good to us. We're undeserving. Amen. We don't deserve anything we've got, but we got it. Amen. It's because of Him. Amen. That we have what we have. That we're allowed to be in this beautiful place today. It's because of God that He saved us. It's because of God that our name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's because of Him that you sat here clothed and you're not hungry and your children's been blessed with good health. That's because of Him. Amen. And I want to say this tonight, and I begin to think about this. You reckon if anybody could have ever said, why me? Who could it have been? Who could it have been? Can I paraphrase this for you? He said this in His words. He said, I'm holy. I'm harmless and undefiled. I am separated from sinners. He said that in Hebrews 7:26. But yet I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. And I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting in Isaiah 56. He said this, I did no sin, neither was guilt found in His mouth. 1 Peter 2:22. He said, yet I was wounded for your transgressions. He said, I was a lamb without blemish and without spot. In 1 Peter 1:19, He said, yet I was bruised for your iniquities. He said this, I knew no sin in 2 Corinthians 5:2. He said, yet with my stripes you are healed. In Isaiah 53:3, He said this, He said, I was made higher than the heavens. In Hebrews 7:25, and He said, yet I bear your sins on in my body. I own the tree in 1 Peter 2:24. So if anybody had any right to say, why me? Who? I believe Jesus could have said that. If anybody could have said, why me? Why must I go? But aren't you glad tonight that He didn't say that? But aren't you glad that He went willingly and drunk the cup? Aren't you glad tonight that He is willing to go just a little bit farther? All these things, we should have been punished. Listen, we deserve the things that Jesus took and buried in His own body. But He did it for us. I remember one time, and I may have told this before, I kind of got in trouble with the law. And I had some tickets on me, and I was about to lose my driver's license. And I remember that I went and got me a lawyer. And they told me the best thing I could do is get me a lawyer and take it to court. I don't even remember who my lawyer was. It's been such a long time ago. Me and Michelle were just dating then. But he said, "You've got a great case." He said that. He said, I believe we can win this case. I don't believe you have any worries." I felt very confident. He said, "Bring $1,000 just in case." Anyhow, the story goes on. We went to court that day and I was the last case tried. Boy, they sent everybody to jail. And a lot of them went to jail the same reason I got caught for. And I was sitting there beside my lawyer and was about to be called up, and he turned and he looked at me and he said, "All I can say is you've got a 50-50 chance." Hey, I said that to say this, amen. I'm glad that through Jesus, amen, it's not 50-50, but I'm glad it's 100% solid. I'm glad it's 100% truth, amen. I'm glad with Him, listen, I'm going to make it. I'm glad through Jesus that my name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad through Him that I'll make it through this life, church. Amen. You know what Jesus said? He said, "With man it's impossible." Hey, I want to say this. He said, "With God, all things are possible." You know why that I'm going to heaven? Because I went through God and His plan. You know why my sins have been washed scarlet white as snow? Because I went through His plan, church. And you know why I got the strength just to keep on keeping on for Him? Because of His plan. Because of Him. Amen. Listen, I begin to think about if anybody had any right to say, "Why me?" I believe Jesus had every right in the world. Boy, I'm glad tonight that He didn't stop and say, "Why me? Get somebody else." Sometimes that's the way we are. Hey, listen, we come to a point in our life and we begin to examine our life. Seems like things ain't going. We say, "Get somebody else to do it." Amen. But He didn't say anything. I thought about this. He said, "No, I opened not my mouth, but I was brought as a lamb to the slaughter." In Isaiah 53:7. "I was derided and I was mocked," in Luke 23. "Yet I said, Father," I want you to listen to this. He said, "Yet I said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do," in Luke 23:34. I began to think about this, church. You know, God has got a plan for His people. Amen. Now I want to say this. I begin to think about why people suffer. I begin to think about why that we go through hardship. Why we go through the things that we go. Amen. Boy, I believe God planned it that way. And I believe He planned it way that way so He can work out the things that's not needed in our life. And He can put in the things that'll make us stronger. You know, some of the greatest Christians that I have ever met, that I have ever come across, that encouraged me more than any, is those who have been through heartache and been through suffering and been down there in the valley, but they still manage to make it out on the other side. Amen. He said this in verse 17. He said, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him." See, I want to say this. We're with Him. We're not by ourselves. You know, for a long time, I thought I was all alone. I thought I was getting beat on. I thought I was getting cut down. I thought people was pointing their finger at me, but all along was pointing it at Jesus. Boy, I've been some places I really felt like I thought I'd get stoned before I got out of there. Hey, but it wasn't me that was mad at. Boy, I want to say this tonight. It was who I represented, who I come with, amen. And I come with Him. I want to say this tonight. When we go out, we need to go out with Him. Listen, when we come in, we need to come in with Him. Wherever we're at and whatever we're doing, when we rise and lay down, we need to do it with Him.
Oh, my man. He's the greatest teacher that mankind has ever known. Don't matter where you've been, what you've done, He's been there. He knows what you've... Listen, He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what's going on. I'll tell you something. Sometimes a brother and sister just can't help. Amen. Sometimes a doctor can't help. Sometimes a counselor can't help. Sometimes your spouse can't help. I want you to know He can. Boy, when things ain't going good, I'm glad that I know that I can count on Him, that I can depend upon Him, because He'll be there. I know after all, He stepped in and He took my place and He paid a price that I didn't have to pay. All I had to do is accept it. Free of charge. Free of charge. But I want to say this. We've got to remember, church, that we belong to Him. And our suffering is not because of us, but because we love Him. Hey, listen, I want to say this. I begin to think about some people in the Bible. And I guess one of my favorites of the many is Paul. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. When he went down to Damascus, he went down there and he meant business. He went down there and he was going to take people. He was going to put them in jail. He was probably going to torture, may have some killed, Bobby. But he was going down there and he had himself letters and he meant business to bring them back because he hated the name of Jesus. He was jealous of the law and he couldn't see past that. He couldn't get past the flesh. But on his way, God allowed him to see past the flesh. And he got saved. Gloriously saved. And the Bible said that God sent him on down to Damascus. And he went down there and God called on a man named Ananias and said, go lay your hands on Paul. Oh, Paul began to tell Jesus. He said, Lord, I've heard of this man. How did he persecute the Christians and what he'd do to people that called upon your name, who believed in you and lived you. Oh, he's a wicked man, Lord. And he said, nevertheless, do as I say. Go lay your hands upon him. He said, for he is a chosen vessel. He said, and I must show him many things that he'd suffer for my name's sake. Hey, immediately, the Bible said when he, listen, received meat and he got strengthened enough, he went out in the streets and he began to proclaim this Christ, Jesus was the very Christ, the Son of God. And immediately the Jews took counsel how to destroy him, how to kill him. Boy, you talk about discouragement. They took him up there to the disciples and they was afraid of him, afraid to get around him. And you talk about discouragement. You know what? I believe he looked at it like, kids, that's water under the bridge. Do you know it'd be easier for us if we'd look at it as it's water under the bridge? Hey, do you know if we'd look at it that Jesus done paid the price and He's done everything that needs to be done? All we got to do is just follow Him. All we got to do is just stick with Him. You know, if the reason people come up short and they suffer in life sometimes, it's because they don't stick with Him. They don't follow Him. They run around all the time saying, why me? But they don't follow Him. Can you say amen? Amen. But Paul said this in the last of his verses, and I'll be done. He said, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. But you know, I really believe in spiritual visions and dreams. It happened in the Bible. Hey, listen, it happened to men in the Bible. And I believe it still happens, amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you believe it or not, if you're saved, you believe in visions. You had to be saved.
Hey, listen. Hey, the preacher got up and he preached hell and he preached you lost. Hey, man, you got a vision that you've lost. And he preached about hell and how real it was. And I want you to know, you got a picture of it. Boy, it scared you high to death. I mean, it tore you, it pulled you inside and out. And for the first time you realized you've lost and something needed to be done. Oh, and then you got that picture. That preacher preaching Jesus on how much he loved you and how he suffered and how he was crucified, how they spat upon him and mocked him and made fun of all matters of fun and how they led him up to Calvary. Well, I'm going to tell you, it got real in your life. You begin to see how much he loved you, what he was willing to go through, amen, for you just to be saved, to have an opportunity to be saved. And I just got a picture. And I seen him hanging there. And I seen that sinner there. And I seen that other sinner there. And I seen that old sinner regretting what he had done. With all regret. And I seen him say, oh yeah, I deserve what I'm getting. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. If it get real in our life, if we got what we deserved, boy, I'm going to tell you something. We'd be casting depths of the doom forever and eternity if we got what we deserved. But I see that old, I got a pit. Listen, I'm going to say this. I got a vision, bless God. I seen that thief hanging there on the cross. And I believe he looked around and he began to look around and he seen him hanging there just like Jesus. And I believe he began to think about his life and his past and what he had done. And I believe he began to be sorrowful. And I believe he began to realize he needed help. And he looked toward Jesus. And I believe it began to go through his heart. It's the innocent man here. Oh, he's guilty of love in the first degree. He's never done nothing but good. He's never done anything but help people. He's never done anything but point them to God the Father. Hey, listen, and he recognized and realized that was the Son of God. And he said, Lord, when thou comest in your kingdom, would you remember me? Would you let that sin debt that I owe, would you let it rest on your account? Would you take that bill? Would you take that debt, John? Would you, Lord, take it all and not just give it to Him? Would you take it? And would you, when you get to heaven, would you, when you get to your glory, and when you get to the throne, would you just remember me? And I believe He said, I'd do better than that. Not only will I forgive you, not only will I save you, He said, this day I'm just going to take you out of this place. I'm just going to take you out of your suffering. He said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Listen, He's telling, listen, not only will I save you, not only will I cover your account, but I'm going to take you with me. Hallelujah. And I reckon tonight, church, that a little suffering is worth it. For the name's sake of Jesus. For His name's sake. Well, I'm going to tell you something. But you know, He said He'd never put on us more than we could bear. He said He'd never let us get in a predicament without a way of escape. Isn't that good? Well, I couldn't get... He said we'd get out of it. You'd say, well, I just couldn't get out of it. I was backed up in a corner. Hey, listen, the devil had me against the wall. I didn't know what else to... He said He'd make a way of escape. By His grace and His mercy, amen. I will say this, the devil, he can't make you do anything. You got to choose it. You got to want it. You got to lust after it. And the Bible said when it's conceived, it brings sin. Listen, when it's finished, it brings forth death and destruction. God don't want that for anybody. He don't want that for anybody.
As a matter of fact, he said, I wouldn't that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Do you reckon that's the way we ought to go out and endure the suffering, bobbing, going and tell everybody about Jesus and tell them they ought to be saved and tell them about how much Jesus loved you? But not only tell them, brother, show them how much. Listen, I want you to know it makes a difference in people's lives how we live Christ-like in front of them. Amen. We can make this book the truth, or we can make it a lie by our testimony and our life living. I reckon the suffering of this life, listen, is not compared. Glory to God, if we can just get a vision, what's going to happen? If we just get a picture, what's going? Listen, if sinners could just see what's fixing to happen, what's fixing to take place, well, I want to say this. If you ain't saved tonight, you're running out of time. Can we look at the Bible today and say prophecy's been fulfilled? Can we say, can anything else happen but Jesus come? Let me say this in the iron and the time that you think not. The Bible said the Son of Man cometh. Boy, I'd hate to be standing here looking yonder and say the harvest is past and I'm not saved. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be an awful time. I heard a fellow in his family got saved one time. And I heard that they come up and said, Preacher, me and my whole family want to be saved. We all want to get right with God. He said, all right. And they got down in the altar and he showed them how to be saved. It's pretty simple. Amen. All you got to do is just come to him. He said, if we'll confess our sins,
amen,
that His just and faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, all those called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
You just got to come. No price. Listen, you can come. Listen, you can get it without money. Boy, I told them this morning, I was preaching over that crab tree. I told them this morning, I said, you women, hey, could you go to the supermarket and some of you got a list and some of you, hey, listen, some of you have got a budget you got to stick with and you got to go buy it and you can't go over it. But what if you pushed your buggy in, got your buggy and you pushed in the manager standing there and said, get anything you want, it's free today. Boy, I'm telling you right now, we'd throw the budget out, wouldn't we? Do you know that's the way He is? He said, come and buy. He said, come and have wine. He said, and get it, Corey, and you can have it for free. It costs no money. You don't have no money. Why? Because the price has done been paid, amen. It's free. All you got to do is just come. I'd hate to know that I missed out on heaven because I just simply wouldn't come. But they got down the altar and they got right. That man stood up and said, Preacher, we're saved now. What do we do? He said, well, come to church, live right, pay your tithes. What did you say, Preacher? Come to church, live right, and pay your tithes. What do you mean, pay your tithes? Well, the Bible says for us to bring a tenth. Just give it to God. He'll bless you. Hold on here a minute, Preacher. I didn't really mean that. My family, we didn't mean that. No, we decided that we don't mean that. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people playing around with God.
That's right. Amen.
There's a lot of people, listen, when the going gets tough, they bail out. When it gets too hard, hey, listen, it don't take much anymore. I mean, they walk around with their feelings on their shoulder. Hey, man, I want to tell you something. I don't want to miss out. I'm willing to take a little bit of suffering. Hey, listen, for Him, after all, what He done for me. But this little tongue lashing make half of us quit sometimes. Hey, do you know I've been talked pretty bad to sometimes by Christians. I've been tongue lashed pretty bad by church going people. Hey, listen, I want you to know I've had some of the worst treatment as a preacher, as a pastor sometimes by Christians. I ain't a beating on nobody at no church, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. By people not following God, they're going to miss out one of these days. Miss out one of these days. I remember when I was in a service one time and I said, has anybody got anything on their heart? Boy, this fellow jumped up and he let me have it. He did. I was opening Scripture and I said, I wonder if anybody's got anything on their heart they'd like to share with the congregation. And boy, he jumped up. He let me have it. Right in front of the whole congregation. We was going home. I was driving. My wife was crying. We was just driving down the road. She said, how in the world should anybody speak to you like that? I said, well, I said if anybody's got anything on their heart, hey, listen, just let it go. And he did. He let it go. Amen. But I said that to say this. We can't ever let any thing get a hold of us and knock us down that we won't suffer for His name's sake. After all, it's going to be revealed to us one of these days. All my preaching, all my suffering, for His name's sake, all the ridicule, all the persecution. Listen, it ain't going to be a hill in the bean. Listen to what God is going to do for us. I like knowing that one of these days that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I like that, don't you? I sure am glad tonight. Listen, I'm glad tonight that I've bowed my knee and I've done confessed. Amen. I'm glad I've got things right with Him. Hey, listen, if you're here tonight the Bible says the days of their salvation. Boy, it'll be a hard thing to stand before Him. And He opened up the books. And He looked. And you're standing there. Celebration going on behind Him. Glory, hallelujah. Listen, worship and praise going home. Hey, listen, something going on in there. In God's great heaven, there's something going on. Hey, it ain't a bickering and a fighting. It ain't rejection. It's worship and praise. But here you stand. Anxious to get in. Wanting to get in. Hey, listen, ain't nobody wants to go to hell. Ain't nobody wants you to take them and throw them in a house and light it with gasoline and burn them up inside it. Ain't nobody wants to do that. But I want to say this tonight. Hey, listen, if you're rejected and you're out, amen, hell's where you'll be if you're not saved. Amen. But anxious to get in. And he looks and he says your name is not here. You didn't claim me. You didn't confess me. Matter of fact, you didn't even ask me to save you. You didn't even acknowledge that I'm Christ. As a matter of fact, I know everything about you and your past. As a matter of fact, you sat in I don't know how many of my services, and I was there, and the man preached to you, and you felt the conviction of God on your heart, but you didn't make a move. And he'll say, you're not here. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Isn't that an awful thing? But I said that to say this. Not only am I saved, but I'm working on my treasure. I'm working on my crowns. Hey, listen. There's things up there. The Bible said that there's going to be a mansion. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I know it's going to suit me just fine. And they're going to be treasures. They're going to be crowns. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. Bless God. They're going to be gifts to the faithful. They're going to be gifts to those who are committed. They're going to be to those who said, yeah, a little suffering's not going to hurt me for the cause of Christ because I'm doing it for the right reason. But you got to be saved. You got to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Listen, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Hey, listen, that we are the sons of God. How you know how I know I'm saved? A lot of people say you can't go on but on a feeling, preacher. But I'm going to tell you something. If it ain't Him inside me that makes me feel the way I feel, I want to tell you something. Sometimes when man gets up and he reads the Bible, sometimes, listen, I'll get in the house and I'll start reading the Bible, and all at once I'll break out to preaching. There won't be nobody around. Big tears are running down. But I won't say it's Him inside me that makes me feel the way I feel. And that, I know, is the greatest feeling that anyone has ever had. It's to know Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Hey, if you know Him like this book says that you should know Him, and I should know Him, I want to tell you something. There'd be nothing standing our way. Not a little suffering for sure. But He could have said, why me? Why do I have to go? He's nothing but filthy rags. He's in a horrible pit of mired clay. He's nothing. He's got nothing to offer me. But He didn't say that, did He? He didn't say that. He just went. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Would you stand? I want to do this. Would someone come play music? Just a song. I don't know tonight. But I'd like to give an invitation tonight. Maybe just want to come thank Him. I don't know. But maybe you need Jesus tonight. Maybe you need to be saved. I stood up this morning and I told John Luke, my son, I said, son, come up here. He stepped out. And he walked up and he stood in front of me. Do you know that's how easy it is to be saved? I'd hate to know Bobby that I missed out on him by simply not taking a step and coming to Jesus. I don't know your heart tonight. Don't know what your need is. But maybe you're one tonight saying, why me? Can I say this tonight? Would you bring it to Jesus? As you bow your heads and close your eyes, is there one? Would you come? Jesus understands. He knows. Would you come? Would you come? Is there another? What's your need tonight? Can I say, don't let the devil sell you off on a lie and talk you out of something that you need tonight? Would you come? People moving, how about you? It's amazing. He's here to help. He's here to meet needs. All we've got to do tonight is just come. Just come and give it to Jesus. Is there another tonight? You'd say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through right now, this time in my life. I guarantee you tonight Jesus knows all about it. I'll guarantee you Jesus wants you to come and give it to Him. Would you come? Is there just one more? Would you come? Would you come? We're going to pray just a moment. Is there just one more? Just one more. As they play, don't put it off. May bring tragedy if we put it off. May bring such sorrow and tomorrow
would say, "Boy, I wish I'd have done it yesterday. Would you come? Would you come?" Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You, Lord, tonight for another opportunity You've given us. Lord, Lord, just touched our hearts. You opened us up and give us a vision of the things that's needed in our life. Father, thank You, Lord, for the sufferings. Thank You, Lord, for all that we do. God, that it be done to honor You and glorify Your precious name. Lord, as we bow here tonight, those that's come, God, those that's been honest with You tonight that's about in this altar, God. God, I pray, Lord, that You'd look upon them and You'd see their petition. And I pray, God, as they cry out to You, grant it. God, I pray You'd just continue to be a help to this great church, these wonderful people, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray You'd just be a brother there as He leads as the under shepherd in this flock. I pray You just continue to bless. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege that You've given me, Lord, to stand behind this pulpit and give a testimony of You. Lord, I just love You and I thank You for answering prayer. Father, I pray, God, now You just help us from here on to be about You. We ask this in Jesus' name.